Good morning. Shall we pray? Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for bringing us all here together to worship you. May your word come from your mouth, go into our heart. Then our hearts may be filled with your word, and then our deeds will also be directed by your words. Lord, we look up to you. Open our heart, open our ears. We are gathering in your name, and may you listen to our prayer, and we worship you in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I found a book written by Walter Snyder, a history professor from Stanford University. The book's name is Escape from Rome, The Failure of Empire and the Road to Prosperity. Snyder uses a concept called counterfactual to make his point. What he really means by counterfactual is to postulate a what-if scenario. What if Rome has never ruled the world? What if Christianity has never existed? Of course, this is just an imagination, or we can say it is an educated estimation. For one thing, even though the author is a very good historian, he's not all-knowing. There are too many factors not being considered. He would never be able to exhaust all the factors involved. Even when Snyder is able to make all considerations, a 700 pages book will not be able to include them all. But it is an interesting exercise. At the same time, it makes me think, what if I have never become a Christian? What if I have never known my Christian friends? What would my life be? And at the same time, what if you have never become a Christian? What if you don't have all your Christian friends you have today or yesterday? What would my life be? There was a time some of us friends I made from Red Deer, Alberta. That was the city I set foot on when I first came to Canada. We were young and innocent then, and now we can talk frank and honest with each other now. We talk about the same topic. What if we have never met Christ then? What would we have become? Of course, we would never be able to predict. We would never go back to 40 years ago and then come back later to re-examine our life. We have to agree to the fact that becoming Christians changed our trajectories of life completely. We all really like who we are now. We all have a very fulfilling and meaningful life. As for me, my life trajectory is definitely changed. Without becoming a Christian, I may just pay up all my mortgage, going on cruises every season like most of my peers. And I could be on Diamond Princess. I really would not know. But here I am, preaching to you today, and hopefully for many more moons. I like what I am doing, and I like where I am at. Though the time is dark right now, I would not mind to go through this dark time with you together. Then, we return to the scripture we have read. This is probably one of the few Bible verses we memorize from childhood. Maybe we have already studied the passage a couple times, and you can't help but to ask, what does that mean to us today? Or I will say, it means a lot to me today. As today's passage says, we will read the complete text, and we will take 2 Timothy chapter 3 to our background. When we memorize Bible verses, all we do is to memorize one or few at a time. But if we really need to understand the Bible verses, most of the time we need to understand the context. And that's the next slide. Yeah. But most of the time we need to understand the context. Why did Paul say verses 6 to 17 here? If we have read through chapter 3, we begin to realize this is about the end time. The end time does not necessarily point at a time with very obvious natural disasters. Oftentimes, it is a disaster in our own hearts. Of course, right now, we have external disaster. We have a pandemic in this whole world. But a lot of time, it's a disaster in my own heart. In the New Testament, we can find quite a few vice and virtue lists. It will list out the things we should not do and a list of what we should do. 2 Timothy has a very interesting vice and virtue list, which differs significantly from the other. Let's look at verses 1 to 5. Okay, in these five verses, okay, look at it, how many bad things you can count, and how many good things it has mentioned. Take some time to count it. How many good things it has mentioned, and how many bad things Paul wanted us to avoid. Just take a little bit of time. Depending on how you look at the last words, they are either 19 or 20 items, which are bad. And Paul wanted us to avoid 19 to 20 items in five verses. And then there's only one item, which is good. Pay attention to verse 1. What is the catalyst of all these vows? Next slide. Next one. Number 9, slide number 9. Yeah. Oops. never mind. Verse 1. During peaceful times, things are plentiful. It is easy to be a good man or a good woman. How did Jesus distinguish the more generous offering, the rich or the poor widow? If we know how much is 2 mites the poor widow is giving, we would know how little it was. 2 mites will buy a quarter of a sparrow. A quarter of a sparrow. It means she won't even have enough to buy one single sparrow in the market for her to make an offering. A sparrow is cheap enough, but 2 mites is just 1/4 of the sparrow. That's all he had. She had. The poor widow made offering even in her most difficult time. She had given up all she has. In difficult time, we probably cannot do good. It is much easier to do bad. Let me illustrate with this. Now, before January, as we go to Costco to purchase toilet paper, we can see there was only two packs of toilet paper left on the rack. At the same time, another cart came close, and the man who is pushing the cart also has his eyes upon the 2 packs of toilet paper. Then we locked eyes, then each one of us picked 1 pack, and we smiled at each other in peace. And then we fast forward to 2 weeks ago, we locked eyes, I took one big step with the explosiveness I got from playing 20 years of basketball. I got one peg under my armpit. Then I also smiled to the gentleman who is 1/10 of a second slower. A smile of victory and satisfaction. Let me clarify. None of that happened, for I do not have space in my humble abode. If I were to buy 2 Costco toilet paper packs, they would have become my mattress. At this critical time, what do we need? Then Paul told us this. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. What can keep us from doing all the wise at the critical time of life? The Bible teaches us how. The simple answer is in verse 16. These 2 verses has one particular important sentence. Verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God. God breathed. It has 2 words which hold particular significance. The first word is all, and the other is inspired. All means every single word, every single sentence. When we memorize Bible verses, we single out 1 or 2 as if they are more important. They may be more catchy, but not more important. However, it takes the whole of the Bible to make sense of even 1 verse. However, far too many would prefer a so-called keywords for the understanding of the whole Bible. Memorizing a few verses is far easier than study the Bible. We may be confusing efficiency with expediency. Slide 13. Now, I'm not discouraging you from memorizing Bible verses. I know many of us growing up attending Awana, you earn your many rewards and even a Bible quiz tournament. They are not always. Sometimes a memorized Bible verse can help me in needs. When I am troubled, one Bible verse can lift me up from disappointment of life. But one Bible verse cannot transform my life. One verse cannot turn my whole value system around. Remember, 2 Timothy were written to Timothy. Paul pointed out in the very first chapter, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. The faith of Timothy is a faith in a long time making. Since Timothy's childhood, his grandmother, Lois, has taught him the Word, the Bible. And then his mother will continue to nurture him in the Word of God. He has taken in the Bible. He has gone to synagogue to listen to the rabbi. The faith of Timothy is a faith in a long time making. He was not transformed by a verse, but by the teaching he received in his whole life. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So it's what you have known from infancy, the Holy Scriptures, not the Bible words. The Scripture is learned since Timothy's childhood, and it has taken effect in his heart. Along the way, he learned to understand the Bible through the hands of many teachers. Now, Timothy can hold on to the teaching. As we learn, we learn by repetition. We learn by continuing reading, continue studying. Then we really know. The other day, I was watching a video. The video is an interview from a seminary president to a church historian. So the president told the historian that, "Oh boy, you have memorized so many things from the past, and especially the year it happened. How could that be?" And the historian replied, the president said, "No, I did not intend to remember them. I did not particularly memorize any year of what event happened. It's just that I've been studying it my whole life. It pops up in my mind all the time." If we cannot study the Bible often enough, it will never come to us. It will never be familiar to us. The seminary president is himself a theologian, but he has no idea what happened in what year in church history because he has not studied it. It takes a long time to study the whole Bible. We can memorize a Bible verse in 15 minutes, but it takes our whole life to study the whole Bible. And we need the whole Bible, not just a few verses. And even more important is God-inspired. Inspired, in the translation of NIV, has made it clear. God breathed into the Bible. In Genesis, after God has created Adam, God breathed into Adam to make him a living man. A living man with spirit. It could mean a living man with life. The Greek and Hebrew are interesting enough to have both words. Spirit has the same meaning of breath and life. Inspired. Thus means the Bible is a living scripture, meaning the Bible is to be lived, not just to be recited. The Bible can give us who read it life, for it will transform how we live our lives when we treat it a living force from God. As long as we have understand the Bible begins to bring the life of God in ourselves, in us. Excuse me. There's a myth that the Bible is to be applied. The Bible can only be applied when we really know what it means. We begin to think in a biblical manner. What is a principle? The Jewish rabbis seldom answer you with a Bible verse. They often answer a question by telling you a story. Oftentimes, we Christians tend to use the Bible for quote-unquote application. So somebody asked me a question, so we show him a verse from the Bible and said, "This is what the Bible says," and so you apply it to your life. But when you go to a rabbi, you ask him a question, usually he won't answer you and show you a Bible verse. He will tell you a story. So, Jesus, as the greatest rabbi of all, when the young man came to Jesus to ask, "Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" Because the Bible says, "Love your neighbor." So if we want to apply the love thy neighbor, we go to next door. Is it? What is it all about? That's why when the young man came to Jesus and asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" told the rich young man the story of Good Samaritan. The story of Good Samaritan destructs his whole idea of a good neighbor. Neighbor is not measured in geographic terms. It is measured with the distance of our heart to fellow human beings' heart. Do I have the compassion to the person right in front of my eyes? It's not defined by geographic terms, somebody who lives next door to me, somebody whom I know who he is. But when I look at this person, what is the distance between my heart and his heart? Can I have compassion of him? Now, the problem comes. Can I have compassion of him? It's not a matter of can I have compassion on him. It's a matter of do I have compassion in my heart? As the Bible comes into my heart and transforms me, one of the most cruelest person in this world, and transform me into somebody who has compassion. Who is my neighbor? My neighbor is where my heart is. It's not an application. It's the inner transformation of me that make me look at other people as my neighbor. This young man came to Jesus to look for an application of love thy neighbor. So he was looking for a neighbor to love. But he did not realize he has to transform his own heart first. How can a good Jew look at somebody who is hurt and wounded on the roadside not to help him? Because the Jew looked at this man is a Samaritan. He did not look at him as a human being from deep down from his heart. As long as our heart is filled with compassion, every single human being is a neighbor. When I look back to the illustration I have just given, when I look at the other man who is pushing another cart looking for that toilet paper, if this man is my neighbor, should I just grab both packs and not leaving him with one pack at home? Unless our heart is transformed, we won't have this compassion. Or unless our heart is transformed, my heart won't have this fear. In this time of pandemic, we have a lot of emotions. One emotion is fear. Why I'm fearful? Why should I be fearful? If my heart is truly transformed, then I have the peace in my heart, my fear is lessened. May we summarize how the Bible carries us through difficult time and make virtue out of this world of vice. The whole Bible is inspired by God. We need the whole Bible to sustain us. Read your own Bible. Read your Bible. God inspired means God gives life to the Bible. As we take in the Bible, we are taking in the life of God. And also, it takes long-term study to realize the benefits of the Bible. Do it consistently throughout our lives, and it will transform us, and it will truly benefit us. And now I would like to ask you to pray together with me, that we ask the Lord that we have the endurance and we have the patience that we can study our Bible and that the Bible, which is inspired by God, to benefit me. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for bringing us your Holy Word. Your Holy Word will transform us. Your Holy Word will bring us life, bring us joy, bring us peace. It really doesn't matter what the world will become, but we will have your peace and joy and love in our hearts, no matter what. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.